Full disclosure, this is a graduation message. I think they also call that a commencement message, which means you are looking to the future. And my heart's desire as we leave today is that you would leave changed. It was Habakkuk who cried out to God and said, God, make my feet like the feet of a deer, set me upon my high places. And the verses that you're looking at up here is not where most of us live. Now let me explain this message. This was given to the Charleston Christian School graduates a few weeks back. There were 13 of them. And of the 13, two were at the Charleston Christian School K-4 through 8th grade. So that's 10 years. I taught most of them at least 1 year, and many of them 2 years. And all of them had been in my Bible class for the last 2 years. So, what could I say that I haven't already said? And then there were the chapel messages that I had given over the years. And I said, Lord, what can I give to these graduates that they will carry with them the rest of their lives? A month before the graduation message, was reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I saw three letters that stood out to me, an R, a P, and a G. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what this is. These are rocket-propelled grenades. And what I wanted to leave with these graduates was the explosive truth of obedience to the Word of God when applied to their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Three brief commands applied by the Spirit of God to the heart of these graduates so that their lives would be all that God wants them to be in the future. I digress. I also had another revelation. Because not too long ago, I was asked to go on a 7th and 8th grade trip. And we went to a place in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It was the YMCA, and it was on the side of a mountain. And I want you to notice that the place you ate was way down below the place that you slept. And you have to make that trek every day, at least three times, from way down there to way up there on the side of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And the kids, they're running up and down these steps. And by the time I got to the top, I was ready to die, and my only prayer was, God, don't let me have a heart attack here and now. It would ruin their 7th and 8th grade trip. Then we went to the Biltmore House. Anybody been to the Biltmore House? Yeah, okay. Like 3,000 rooms, but you got to get to those rooms by going up and down what? Say the word. Steps. And I made this realization. I have spent most of my life either going down steps or going up steps. I mean up steps. If you could figure out the amount of time that I have spent going down and up and down and up and down and up. And they've asked me at the Charleston Christian School, how much longer are you going to teach here? And I said, okay, I will teach here as long as I can come up the back steps to my room two at a time. Two at a time. I can still do that with care, but I can go up two at a time. But life is all about steps. You know that? Up and down, 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 up and down steps. It's what we spend most of our time doing. And there are slippery steps. I came out of my room on two different occasions at Charleston Christian School after an icy storm, slipped, and landed horizontal on my hip. I want you to know that steps can be slippery. I want you to notice three very slippery steps as we begin. The first one is doubt, which basically says, I don't believe it. And this is an amazing thing. This is after Jesus Christ has told his disciples over and over again, I'm going to be crucified, buried, and you tell me, on the third day, rise again. The 11 disciples meet where he said to meet. And they see him. And when they see their risen Lord, they fall prostrate and they worship. But do you notice these words? But some doubted. And I'm thinking, how? Guys, come on. What? He's alive. He said he's going to be alive. And here, some are doubting. Is it really him? I'm not sure. Looks like him. Yeah, but... And they're doubting. And we have it right there in the Word of God. Let me ask you this. Of all that God has revealed to you as truth in the Scriptures, how many of you, on a daily basis, instead of worshiping, in adoration of what he has said, doubt him? You could raise your hand because you do. The amazing thing that I don't have up here is what Jesus Christ did next. The Bible tells us that he came to them and he spoke to them. Danny, do you know what he said? All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. But don't go with any doubts. But we do. The next slippery step is this discouragement. Because you see, God calls you to do things in your life that you cannot do. I hope you've realized that. God will stretch you. He will enlarge you. But the only way God enlarges us is by putting us in situations where we realize in our own strength we can't fulfill it, we can't do it. Joshua was there. How does the book of Joshua begin? Moses, my servant, is dead. And Joshua's thinking, whoa, uh-oh. It was okay being man number two all these years, but now Moses, the man of God, is dead. And God comes to Joshua and says, what? You take him into the land. And I am sure that Joshua's first thought was, no way. I can't fulfill it. Discouragement. God comes to him, does he not? And says to him, wait a minute. Haven't I commanded you? Haven't I told you to be strong and courageous? Have I told you not to be afraid? Because I'm going to be with you every step you take, Joshua. So there's no need for discouragement. But if you understand what doubt does and it leads to discouragement, discouragement leads to what? Depression. Which means I can't do this any longer. I cannot endure this. I am at my end. I cannot do this. David was there more times than one. Yeah. He cries out to God and he said, God, you need to answer me like right now. It's like Peter going down in the water. My spirit fails. Don't hide your face from me. Or I'll be like one that goes down to the pit of despair. Princess Bride. But I want you to understand, you've been warned. In the Word of God, we are told that there are these slippery steps that begins with doubt, leads to discouragement, and ends up in despair. And sad to say, a lot of Christians are on one of those steps. I want you to know that. Let me talk about some secure steps. Habakkuk was on the slippery precipice in chapters 1 and 2. It isn't until Habakkuk gets to chapter 3 and adjusts his spiritual binoculars and sees God as he is in truth sovereign God, that he comes to this realization that God is his strength and that God alone can make his feet like the feet of a deer, enable him to go on the heights. Yellowstone, motorcycles, riding around. I remember one time, Curtis, you remember this, but up on the side of a cliff, there was a goat up there. I'm certain he was 90 to 100 feet up on the side of a sheer rock cliff. He was just hanging out there. I don't know how he got there. I don't know where he was going after that because I couldn't see the ledge. But he wasn't going, wasn't afraid. It's like, I was made for this. It's like, I know how I got here. I know how I'm going to get off. And life is beautiful from this perspective up here. But I just remember seeing him up there on the side and thinking, how is he ever, ever going to get out of that predicament? And with him, it was like, it's what I do. I'm a goat. But I love this translation. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, which is what I thought he would be out there doing. And make spiritual progress upon my high places of, here they are, trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Now you're going to end up in one of those if you aren't already there. Trouble. Yeah. Suffering or responsibility. So here it is. In light of the slippery steps that we find in life, God has these rocket-propelled grenades, I call them, for life's 3Ds. They got to do this with teenagers because they like, you know, God's RPGs for life's 3Ds. And they're like, whoa, what is that? Tell me about that. Well, here it is. Rejoice and pray and give thanks. Because what happens when we do that is we can defeat the doubts, the discouragement, and the depression that comes. Can I do that to every one of us? When I gave this message, I did not have a clicker. And the person in the booth at the back said, it's okay, I'll follow you. I'll change them when you want me to change them. And I'm thinking, I need the clicker for this. Because I said to her, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. That was it. Three times I thought that was enough. These are rocket-propelled grenades. Here's step number one. Rejoice always. Do you see that? I want to take your life and I want to put it in the rejoice-o-meter. Okay? It's a box. You step in it and it's got a gauge on it. And it shows how much of the time over the last week, from last Sunday at this time to this Sunday at this time, you have been rejoicing always. Okay? I want to see that. 10%? Think about it. When you really, really rejoiced. It's like this. Okay, it's like this. Lamb number one. Okay, the perspective for lamb number one may not be the best. Okay, lamb number one, right there. Focus. Yeah, okay. Oh, great. Another day of following mom around. I am so tired of this. On and on and on and on. And lamb number three is like, I wish he would stop that. What is with you? Because lamb number two is, woohoo, yes, go, let's do this. Everything's been provided. I don't have a worry in the world. There it is. I want to be lamb number two. Okay? That's what I want. Guess what? It's what God wants. You to be lamb number two. Now, woe's me. Or, oh, not another day, but woohoo. Yeah. Step one, rejoice always. It destroys doubt. Okay. I used to live in a big house. I live in a nice house. It's not as big as the one I once lived in, nor is it on a river, but it's a nice house and I love it. It's what God has given us. But I prayed. I said, Lord, when I leave this big house, so I obviously couldn't afford, I'm asking for two things. I'm asking for a two-car garage and a study. That's it. Didn't mention kitchen. Sorry. Okay. I said, two-car garage and a study. Two-car garage. Motorcycle, washer and dryer. Other side over here, workout bench, treadmill, freezer, whatever, okay? And God gave us a house with a two-car garage and a study. I asked for a study with shelves. And after Jay Miller got finished, let me just tell you, want to see my shelves? It's awesome. But not only did God do that, he knew I loved figs. And the day that we moved into that house, when I went into the backyard, I just want you to know I have the biggest fig tree in the world. I don't care where you go. Doesn't matter. Nathan, am I exaggerating? 30 feet across? It's big. 15 feet high? And guess what's on it right now? Yeah, they're getting there. That's so big. But when I moved in, you don't need to know. All right, if you come see my study, I'll show you my fig tree. But I remember walking in the backyard and seeing those figs in full bloom and just picking them off. And I thought, God, you didn't have to do this. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a mistake. In my heart, God said, you know what? I can do that and I can do that. And you know what? I can even do this. I want you to just suppose for a moment. No two-car garage. No washer and dryer or freezer, I'm sorry. And no study. I use the bathroom. I don't know. I can't imagine it. And I go to the fig tree and there are no figs on it. I want to know what my attitude would be like. Do you know what my attitude would have been like? Bad. Habakkuk realizes that Israel is going to be destroyed agriculturally. And yet, in the midst of this destruction, there's an agrarian society. He says, you know what? If the land is stripped bare of every possible means of sustenance, and we have nothing, I have God. Though we have nothing, I have God, the sovereign Lord, Yahweh. And he says here, in spite of having nothing, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, what? My Savior. That is how you rejoice always. Because God may take everything in your life dear to you, and Paul said, as having nothing, yet possessing what? All things. We rejoice because we understand God is reigning and in absolute control, not just over the universe, not just over the country, not just over my family, but over everything that touches my life, God is king. He's reigning over me, and I have nothing to worry about. And that is why we're told to rejoice always. That's a rocket-propelled grenade that destroys doubt. And the second one is to pray all the time, to pray continually. Oh, Amy Carmichael learned this when she was like 3 or 4 years old. You remember the story? You should. CEF. When she's a little tiny girl, she has brown eyes, and she grows up in a Christian home, and she says, God answers prayer, God answers prayer, God answers prayer. And so she prays, and she prays, God, would you give me blue eyes, right? It's a story. She runs into the bathroom, she climbs up, and she looks in the mirror, and she finds that her eyes are still brown. And rather than shatter her faith in a God that answers prayer, she will say in her story, she heard this. God spoke to her spirit and said, isn't no an answer? Isn't no an answer? Because who knows best? And it wasn't until years and years later when Amy Carmichael, was in India rescuing Hindu children from the temples that she understood why God said no. She had dyed her skin with coffee to make her look like an Indian. She had put a shawl over her head, and she was in the temple, the cold, dark temple, looking for ways to rescue children, and she rescued hundreds of them. And as she walks by a priest, they meet eye to eye. He looked at her brown eyes, and she looked at his brown eyes. And her mind went back to this day. The God who could have given her blue eyes said, you need brown eyes. Because you need to be in this temple. You need to be rescuing these children. And I gave you brown eyes for a reason. So that you would blend in and rescue these children. Isn't no an answer? Have you had some no's? Yeah. You've had lots of yeses. You've had some maybes. But God says we're to pray continually. Everything that touches our lives. How many have been talking to Pastor Joel and mentioned something about prayer, and he stops right there and prays about it? Would you raise your hand? Wow. Let me tell you, I have children coming up to me at the Charleston Christian School saying, Mr. White, would you pray about something? And you know what I do? I stop right then and we pray about it. And God answers prayer. After the last storm or hurricane, one of my students came and said, Mr. White, our power is going to be off, they say, for at least 2 or 3 weeks. Please pray. I said, let's everybody stop. Let's pray. I said, God, would you please cut on the power today in her home? Now, you can walk out on a ledge and think God won't come through. But when you put God to the test, God wants to reveal himself to you and to your children more than you'll ever know. And she came back the next day, and what do you think she said? Mr. White, you'll never believe this. I said, oh, yeah, I will. When I got home yesterday from school, guess what? What? Our electricity was on. I said, stop! What do we do now? We give thanks to the God who answers prayer. Jesus Christ said, if we ask, it'll be given. But we don't believe that most of the time. And he says that if we continue to knock, like the woman who continued to knock, God will open the door. And God says, if we continue to seek, seek, knock, intensity of prayer, I think. Because he says, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And I would just say this. What God has done in the world has been done because saints got on their knees and cried out to God. Have you read the Bible and seen people cry out to God and God rolling up his sleeves, as it were, and saying, I got that. Carte blanche. Blank check, right? Except you don't sign your name on it. Whose name do you sign? You sign the name of Jesus Christ because it's for his glory. And God may say yes, and he may say no. He may say, wait a while, but I will guarantee you, if you bring it to God, God will answer in his way, in his time, for his glory, for your good. We ought to bombard heaven with prayers because God is always listening. God is always listening. After I gave this chapel message, I was asked to give this message to this graduation message to the chapel the next day. And I said, okay. But everything was shut down at the school. Laptop not working, nothing working. Clicker not working, nothing working, okay? And so the head of school is up there thinking, you know, this is the last chapel of the year. Kids, tell me things you learned this year. And it went on and on and on. We need this PowerPoint. I went in the kitchen, got on my knees, and I said, God, we need the PowerPoint working now, please, for your glory. Walked back in the sanctuary. Anybody want to tell me what was happening? PowerPoint ready. And the lady who said the clicker didn't work last week, guess what? The clicker worked. God says, pray continually, and you'll never be discouraged. Yeah. And then finally, step three is thankfulness. If God is sovereign over you, and if God hears your prayers, then this is the opportunity to be thankful in most circumstances or in all circumstances. Well, the question I'll ask you there is God sovereign in all circumstances? Yes. Does he hear us pray in all circumstances? Yes, therefore we can give thanks in all circumstances. We don't have to give thanks for the circumstances. In them. Right? I don't think Paul and Silas said, God, thank you for this jail. This is awesome. Boy, these chains are so cool. Want to hear them rattle? They were giving thanks in these circumstances, knowing that God was sovereign and God was listening, and they were so thankful, they said, let's sing a song. Yeah. What song did they sing? Probably Every Day with Jesus is Sweeter Than the Day Before. I don't know. But all I know that they had a thankful heart because they knew God was watching over them, God was listening to them, and they could give thanks. Turn, yeah. This is God's will just for every one of us. Yeah. When your world is turned upside down, doubt, discouragement, and despair are very slippery steps. Rejoicing always, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because God is always working for you. He is committed to you. He is committed to you. If you have any question about that, just look at the cross. He is committed to work in your life for his glory. And we know with great confidence, the Amplified says, that God, who is deeply concerned about us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, causes all things to work together as a plan foreordained by a sovereign God for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. God is always working. Do you remember Jesus Christ saying that? My Father worketh hitherto and I work. Well, he didn't stop. He's still working. He's working for your good. He has a plan. He has a plan. So every step you take, sometimes you'll be going down some steps, maybe into temptation. You know what you can pray? Since God is listening and God is sovereign, direct my footsteps according to your word and let no sin rule over me. And then if you want, and this is what I told the graduates to do, whenever you're in this new place of this high school that you're at, you need to go down the steps going, no doubts, no discouragement, no depression, just out loud. Just go down the steps wherever you're going, okay? No doubts, no discouragement, no depression. Just say it out loud. People will think you're nuts. But do it because it's true. And then you have all these steps that you need to go up. You have these impossible situations. I'm talking to the graduates, okay? Whatever it is, whatever paper you need to be working on. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. So as you're going up the steps wherever you are at this school, you just need to say, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. You ought to do that. You just need to go find some steps today. I'm just saying. You need to go down them and say, no doubts, no discouragement, no depression. Then find some steps to go up. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. Because this is what God says we should do. God says we should do this. Because it's his will. The question I would leave with you is it really possible? Is it really possible? Wonder what Matthew 19:26 says. With God, all things are possible. In other words, if God has commanded it, God will enable it. If you believe that, God will do that. According to your faith, be it unto you. Psalm 60, verse 12, David has great adversaries, but he has this confidence. He says, you know what? With God, we will perform valiantly. I like that. I claimed that verse the last month of school. I really did. I said, Lord, I need to end the year valiantly. We get tired. And he did. But I love this one. God says, speaking of this time in which we live and the pouring out of the Spirit of God, God says, I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. It's a God thing. You say, God, I can't do it. God says, I already know that. That's why I have my Spirit living in you. And all the while, realizing what? Going up and down these steps, that last step's going to be a good one, isn't it? When we enter the streets of glory, let me tell you, it's going to be good. I like giving people things to help them remember messages. You know anybody else like that? No, he's not here today. I spoke on Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael last year. You know who that is? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I won't call them by their Babylonian names. I'm sorry. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, these three Hebrew young men, ended up where? Where? Fiery furnace. That's what I told them. I said, you're going to go out into the world, and it is going to be like a furnace. So I gave him a gift. A Zippo lighter. You ever played with a Zippo lighter? Anybody here? Come on, put those hands up. Ah, oh, a bunch of smokers. And on it, I had Isaiah 43:2. I put their name on it, had their name inscribed on it. And I had Isaiah 43:2, the reference. And then below that, I put, don't fear the flames. Don't fear the flames. I have students that come to me now and say, man, that was the coolest thing I ever got. Now, I didn't give them the lighter fluid. I let the parents take care of that. I just say, this is coming without the fluid. I said, but this year I got to kick it up a notch. I said, okay. I don't know where to find them. I found them. Orangeburg. I drove to Orangeburg to get them. Army surplus store. I mean, you call around for grenades, you get some strange stuff. I'm just saying, in the day in which we live, you have 13 grenades there. Click. I'm not trying to do anything. Well, I called a place in Orangeburg. And you think Alabama's country. Let me tell you what, this was country. I said, you got any hand grenades? He says, yeah, how many you need? My kind of guy. I told him, he said, let me check. He said, yep, we got them. Yeah. So I took a drove to Orangeburg. Got the grenades, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, RPG, right there. No dynamite in it, it's okay. And I told the kids, as I was ending the message, I said, do you see that box over there? They said, yeah. I said, each one of you get one of those. But I said, you have to promise you will not look in it or open it until you get home. You may not even touch it. We're out in the parking lot, and one kid says, well, when I get in my car, can I look then when I get in my car? I said, all right, go ahead. Make sure your parents are there. Next day, had a girl came to school with one of these. Mr. White, thank you so much for the grenade. I'll never forget the message. Well, just want you to know, there is explosive power in the Word of God. It is powerful. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That will destroy, will obliterate doubt, discouragement, and depression in your life. It's the explosive power of the Word of God applied to the heart by the Holy Spirit. And it works. And it works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the commands that we know in ourselves we cannot fulfill. But thank you for the Spirit of God. Would you enable us to know what it means to obey these commands and to live a life the way you want us to live, through the explosive power of the Spirit-applied Word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. You are dismissed.